Hello again. So great to be here this morning. I'm really excited to be able to look at God's Word with you this morning. And it's my hope that as we look at God's Word together, we'll see the good news, that God always keeps His promises. And this is such a great encouragement for us, especially as we live in such an uncertain world. God always keeps His promises. Let's pray together as we look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've made Yourself known to us. And Father, we thank You that You've come and through Christ and saved us from our sins. Father, please help us to ignore distractions and to have the energy to keep growing in knowledge and love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever been let down by someone's promise. They've said one thing, but then done another. One of my favorite TV shows to watch is Survivor. I really love watching the strategy that takes place. People make promises, and just as you're watching, you think you know what's going to happen, someone goes back on their promise and changes the game. It's a game of trust, but you've got to make sure that you trust the right people. It's kind of entertaining when it's a show, but when it happens in real life, it can really shatter you. When friends fail to be there for you like they said they would. When brothers and sisters here at church break a promise to love you. For some of us, it might be hard to know if we can trust anyone. Well, the Bible has good news. God always keeps His promises. And so as we live in this broken and deceitful world, we can find real security and comfort in His Word. We can trust God in every part of our life. Well, so far in Luke, we've seen an angel make promises. He made promises to Zechariah that he would have a son named John. Then he made promises to a woman named Mary that she would have a son named Jesus. In our passage today, it turns our attention back to Zechariah as we start to see these promises being fulfilled. Sometimes I think it's easy to dismiss John the Baptist. After all, Jesus is the main guy. And yet I trust that as we look at the passage, not only will we be reminded of God's goodness, but we'll rejoice at the great benefit we receive from John preparing the way for Jesus. There's three things we'll focus on in this passage. First, everything happens just as the angel promised. Second, everything happens just as the prophets promised. And third, everything will happen just as John promises. And the reason these things happen, it's not because these people are really awesome. It's because these are God's promises. And God always keeps His promise. So let's get into the passage. Everything happens just as the angel promised. Earlier in Luke 1, the angel made promises to Zechariah. Last week we saw one of them fulfilled. The promise that John would have the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. But in this passage, there's three bold promises about his birth that are addressed here. Early in chapter 1, the angel said that Zechariah's wife would give birth to a son in verse 13. And that people will rejoice at the birth, verse 14. And number 3, he'll be named John in verse 13. And then after hearing these things, a fourth is added because Zechariah doesn't trust the angel. The angel says that Zechariah will be mute until these things happen in verse 20. These are bold promises. It's no wonder Zechariah is hesitant about them. But let's have a look at what happens. Turn with me, chapter 1, verse 57 to 59. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her His great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. And when they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. Well, there is good news. Why? Because God has shown His mercy. Elizabeth has given birth to a boy. People have shown up and rejoiced. Things are happening just as the angel promised. But there's a problem. The relatives want to call the baby Zechariah. After all, it's custom to name the son after a relative. But the angel told Zechariah that the baby's name will be John. And so the focus turns to Zechariah. There's a lot on the line here. Will he reject God's word and follow his family's expectations? Or will he repent and trust God's promises? Let's continue reading from verse 60. But his mother responded, "No, he'll be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. The relatives and neighbors are so surprised by Elizabeth's response that they check with the father. And their amazement, he confirms it. His name is John. This might not sound huge, but this is a massive turnaround for Zechariah. Earlier on, Zechariah, he didn't believe it would happen. But now, even in the face of cultural expectations, at risk of offending his whole community, he believes God's promise. And so he follows God. He names the baby John. And immediately after this, he regains his speech. It's extraordinary. And it means everything has happened just as the angel promised. God demonstrates that his promises are true and he's powerful enough to make them happen. Such a great relief to be fully able to trust God, knowing that he never betrays his word. And so as we come to God's word and as we read it, and as we realize our life doesn't match up with what he says, we need to do something about that. We should repent and go his way like Zechariah, because we know we can trust God's word. It reminds me of when I'm driving. I like to have Google Maps open, particularly if I'm not 100% sure where I'm going. But the thing is that sometimes I trust it, but other times I just go my own way anyway. It actually happened one of the first times driving here to church. I was driving up on James Roos Drive, and the Pennant Hills exit, it just looked really familiar. And so I took it, and I kept driving. I ran past the King's School, and then I realized that this isn't where I needed to be. But even worse, I was traveling away from where I needed to be. And so I realized I probably should trust the map. I turned around and started going the right way. And that's similar to what we see Zechariah doing. He realizes he can trust God. And this doesn't stay as head knowledge. In the face of cultural expectations, he does a U-turn and he follows God's word. Now, at the start of a book, Luke explains some of his motivation for why he's writing. He wants his friend Theophilus to have the certainty of the things that have happened, to have certainty. And I imagine for Theophilus, Zechariah's example would be a massive encouragement. Zechariah doubted what the angel said, and yet God had mercy on him. Zechariah puts his trust in God's word. And this isn't a private event. The whole town knows about it. If Zechariah can trust God, so too can Theophilus. Theophilus can have certainty over the things that happened. And this gives us great hope as well. We've all been in a similar boat. All of us have sinned and doubted God's promises. And I imagine for some of us in this troubling time, we're in the midst of doubt, not sure if we can trust God. Why is there so much suffering around us? But what a great encouragement it is to see Zechariah's example. Our doubt doesn't mean that we should reject God. We can all have certainty and trust God, even in the face of expectations from our society. And unlike Google, which is sometimes right, sometimes wrong, God always keeps his promises. And so we can trust him with all parts of our life. Next time you use Google Maps, it might be a while, but when you do, I hope you remember this. God always keeps his promises. Well, everything happened just as the angel promised. That's our first point. And after these events, the Holy Spirit fills Zechariah and he prophesies. And we'll look at the prophecy in two halves. They're point 2 and 3 on your outline. And so the first thing we see in the prophecy is that everything happens just as the prophets said. well, we've just been blown away by the things that happened just as the angel said. But actually, this isn't where things start. Hundreds of years before this, God speaks to his people through prophets. And he says, he promises that a Messiah would come to save them. John himself is not the Messiah, but his birth kickstarts a chain of events, so much so that Zechariah talks about God's plan as already begun. Everything has happened just as the prophet said. Now read with me from Luke 1, verse 67. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham." Well, Zechariah begins with praise. And I imagine after the birth of your child, you'd be pretty excited. But actually, he's not praising his baby. In fact, he doesn't say anything about the baby. He praises God. And Zechariah gives three main reasons why God deserves praise. Firstly, God has acted. God is the one who visited his people. He's dealt mercifully with his people. He's the one raising up the horn of salvation. Second, God is acting just as he promised to David, to prophets, and just as he swore to Abraham. And three, God's action leads to salvation, freedom from enemies, saved from the hands of enemies. God acts just as he promised to save his people. The people in verse 58 thought God's mercy was finally giving Elizabeth a son and ending her shame. But Zechariah understands this mercy as God's plan to save his people forever. He knows that the birth is a miracle from God, and he knows it's a sign of much greater things. God has remembered his promises. And so God is the one deserving of praise. And why has he done this? Verse 74 to 75. We have been rescued from the hand of our enemies to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, in his presence all our days. Those who are saved by God serve him. And we serve him without fear, because nothing can ever take us away from God. This is extremely comforting. What a great God that we have. He not only saves us, but he brings us into his presence and removes any reason that we might have to be fearful. God's promises are praiseworthy because of the great joy and freedom we have to serve him forever. Well, I wonder if you have a list of things you want to do once lockdown finishes. I'm pretty keen to hang out with friends, grab a coffee. I'm keen to gather with others at church. But do you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to pretend like I'm still in lockdown. I'm not going to cancel all my plans. I'm not going to spend all day inside just not sure what to do, being fearful of going outside. I'm not going to be on Zoom all day. And yet, as Christians, we've been saved from something far worse than lockdown. We were slaves to sin, under the curse of death, cut off from God. We had reason to fear him. But now we've been saved by God to serve him without fear all of our days. And so we can't go on like nothing has changed. We now have the great joy of serving God. And this is what we've been saved to do. To put God first in everything. To take God's word seriously, despite what society says. And so I hope that you enjoy this privilege to fearlessly serve God. Now, if you're like me, you're probably wondering, like, how do we actually do this during lockdown? Like, serving God, it just sounds so much easier when we're with people. But I think the great reminder in this passage is that we serve him in his presence. And so it definitely includes what we do here at church. But it's actually so much more than that. we serve him with our whole life in his presence. Everything we do for God. And so the way that we treat others in our household or check in with other households, it matters. The attitude that we have towards lockdown, the time we dedicate to his word and to prayer, it matters. God has given us salvation to serve him in his presence. And what a great privilege that is. Praise God that he always keeps his promises. And enjoy the promise to be saved and to serve him forever. Now, at this point, you're probably wondering, where does John actually fit into all of this? He's not the Messiah. He's barely mentioned. But as we come to this last section, our last point of our outline, it describes John's role in all of this. When he gets older, he'll prepare the way for the Messiah. And he has a particular message for us to pay attention to. A message we can trust because everything will happen just as John promises. Read with me from verse 76. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us, to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So this baby will be a great prophet of God. He's preparing the way for the Lord. And he has an extremely important message. Salvation through the forgiveness of sins. We talked about salvation a little bit earlier. We didn't really flesh out what we're saved from. But the Messiah didn't come to give Israel victory over other nations. He didn't come to stop people from hating God's people. If he did, then he failed. Instead, he saves people from sin, from broken relationship with God. Sin is the real enemy. Sin is living a life not following God's word. It's not trusting in God. And that's why this is such great news, that God saves his people by forgiving their sins. Our life of rebellion is forgiven. And this isn't earned, it's given by God. And this gets fleshed out a little bit more in verse 78 to 79. It describes humanity as being in the darkness and in the shadow of death. And boy, do we know what that feels like. To feel like sickness and pain is all around us. To be lost and alone. To not know if there's any way out. And yet someone else is coming. Jesus, the Messiah. And he guides our feet out of the darkness into the way of peace. He is the one who frees us from the fear of death. He is the one who offers us salvation through the forgiveness of sins. What joy it is to know this forgiveness, to escape the darkness, and to have a relationship with God that's fixed. And from where we are in history, we have the great privilege of looking back and seeing that it did happen just as John said it would. Jesus came into the world and he saved us by dying on a cross. We don't earn God's favor. He forgives us because Jesus paid the price for our sin so that we could be forgiven. So that all who trust in Jesus will be forgiven and because of this have the freedom to serve God without fear forever. John's message is a little bit surprising at first. Why salvation through forgiveness of sins? But as we reflect on ourselves, as we reflect on our hearts, we realize that this is what we need. And so it's good that John came and prepared the way, because it helps us know what to expect when the Messiah comes. Now, something else that I enjoy doing during my lockdown is jigsaw puzzles. It's become a bit more popular during lockdown. I haven't actually had the chance to do one yet. But the thing about a jigsaw puzzle, right, is the box tells you what to expect. You know, you look at the picture on the box, and at the end, you expect that's what it's going to look like. It's really frustrating when it doesn't, right, or when you're missing pieces. But this preparation It's like John's message, getting us ready to know what to expect when the Messiah comes. He helps us know to expect salvation through forgiveness of sins. And so we need to see the importance of having our sins forgiven. Salvation, it's not about having a happy and comfortable life. It's not about earning our way into God's family. That's not what the picture on the box is saying. God is concerned with saving us through forgiveness of sins. And this is an exciting message from John that helps us know what to expect from Jesus. And again, since we live after Jesus has already come, John's message should turn our attention and our focus to celebrate Jesus. John had the message, but Jesus is the one who actually brings about this forgiveness, whose death and resurrection provides for forgiveness that we need to be saved. And he's the one who guides us out of the darkness into peace. Early in this passage, we saw Zechariah responding and following God's word. And I think that's a great example for us to take God at his word and trust in Jesus. To say sorry to God and receive the forgiveness of sins, so that you may worship him in his presence all the days of your life. If this is the first time you're hearing this message, then I'm really excited. Salvation from sin, it's what everyone needs. And the good news of the Bible is that Jesus came to give us this, to save us from our sins. And so let me encourage you, while we're still online, keep tuning into church and keep wrestling with the importance of what Jesus has done. And as we continue to look at God's love revealed through Jesus, I hope you'll see why this is such good news. Well, in many ways, this week's a bit of a drum roll to the main event. It's like the picture on the jigsaw box. But this doesn't mean the passage is unimportant. It helps us build up to the main event. And I hope that we're keen to keep seeing the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring. And as we've looked at the passage today, we've been reminded that God always keeps his promises. And that is a great reason for us to turn to God and praise him. To trust in him like Zechariah. And we've also had a great reminder of our salvation. We are saved through the forgiveness of sins. This is the salvation that we need. And how good is it to know that it's come through Jesus? Let's enjoy this salvation by serving God in his presence into eternity. Let's pray to our great God. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and thank you that we can trust your word because you always keep your promises. Father, please help us to rely on your word for everything, and we thank you for the salvation that you offer for forgiveness of sins. Please help us all to rejoice in this and to serve you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.